Welcome to the ProWrestling.net podcast for February 18, 2015. I'm Jason Powell, and it's my pleasure to be joined by Ring of Honor's Maria Kanellis. She will be at the 13th anniversary show, and you can see it on pay-per-view March 1st, Las Vegas, Nevada, at the Orleans Hotel and Casino. And it's a traditional pay-per-view television event, so you don't have to worry about that iPay-per-view stuff, although I think there is an option if for any reason you want to go that route. Maria, first off, welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me.
My pleasure, and you know, I want to kind of start on a controversial subject here. I was doing some research on you, and I don't know how many people know this, but you actually served 9.5 years of an 18.5 year prison sentence for armed robbery and kidnapping at the very young age of 16.
Oh, did I know?
Oh, you know what? I think I was looking at MVP's bio. It must be an alphabetical thing. But it's a good thing that I didn't have him on and ask him about, like, being the first guy to pose for Playboy or something like that. Anyway, in all seriousness, how's married life treating you?
It's wonderful. We just got our first place in January, and it's our first place together, so we're really enjoying experiencing living together for the first time.
That's awesome. And of course, you were married to a fellow Ring of Honor star, Mike Bennett. I guess, do we have to call him Michael these days?
I still call him Mike. I don't know why it got changed to Michael, but Michael, either way is good.
Yeah, I like Mike because, well, there was a Viking running back named Michael Bennett, so I always get the two confused. So Mike is much easier for me. Now, Mike is going to be watching you wrestle at the 13th anniversary show. You're facing ODB. Have you worked her in the past?
I actually was down at Ohio Valley Wrestling with her for a little while. So it has been quite a few years since I've worked with her, but I'm really looking forward to the match.
Yeah, I mean, because most of the time these days you're not in the ring, you're more of a valet type. And so how much wrestling do you do these days?
Not very much at all. I actually decided on my own to start taking myself away from the wrestling and stick more with managing and you know, doing a really good job at that. But when the opportunity arose, I had to take it. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to the match, and I think that we're really going to tear it up together.
And, I mean, is this something that you were pushing to do, or was this something that was brought to you?
We've been in the storyline now with the Briscoes for a while, and the Briscoes, they just seem to find me as Superman would find Kryptonite. And for some reason, whenever I'm out there, they just seem to lose. So they had to bring someone in to fend me off because apparently two very scary gentlemen can't deal with little old me. And so they brought in ODB, and the opportunity arose for there to be a match. And of course, I'm going to defend the title of love. And so that's what we're doing.
Yeah, very cool. And is this the first time, I don't know if they're going to add something to the lineup, but will this be the first time that you can recall where Mike will be watching you and you won't be watching Mike on the same show?
Well, we did it a lot on the independents for a while there. So we would manage each other throughout the evening. So it has happened before, but this will be the first time on Ring of Honor television that I will have a singles match. So this will be the first time that he has to valet me on Ring of Honor.
And what do you hope to do more of going forward? I mean, if you had your way, I mean, it's cool you're working this show, but would you prefer to be a valet, or would you prefer to just do more wrestling?
I prefer the spotlight. So whatever I have to do to get it, that's what I'll do. I prefer a good storyline. People have always asked me, do you want to manage or do you want to wrestle? I want a good story. So if that's wrestling or if that's managing or if that's interviewing or commentating or whatever it may be, that's what I'll do. Because the thing that I can't stand is doing anything without a purpose. So as long as there's a good storyline, then there's no one thing I would rather do.
How much input do you have into your storylines in Ring of Honor? I mean, are you just kind of, here's a direction, or is there a little bit of a back and forth?
I have a lot of control. That's one of the main reasons why I stayed in Ring of Honor and I didn't go to TNA. was because I like having control. And in Ring of Honor, I can do and say whatever I want. And that, at this point in my career, after being in this business for 10 years, that is really important to me.
When were you talking with TNA?
I've talked to them several times. Right after WWE, they contacted me. They contacted me probably after a year of working with Ring of Honor, and then they contacted me again last year. And every time, it just didn't seem right. I think that the girls over there are fantastic. They're extremely talented. And there's a lot of the guys over there that I've worked with and, you know, have friendships with. But for me, it just always seemed like a better fit at Ring of Honor.
Now, going back to your WWE days, I thought you were really onto something as a personality in that company. And I'm sure they didn't intend for this to happen, but I thought they made you just another diva once they put you in the ring. You just became another one of the girls rather than the standout individual personality. And, you know, I'm not saying it's your fault and that they couldn't have done more with you as a wrestler and gotten better results, but I'm curious, going back at that time, whether you wanted to get in the ring or if you were content being a personality.
I did want to get in the ring more, but I wanted to do it in a different way. As you know, and as everybody has seen, WWE has a lot of controlling factors, and that's no fault of anybody's except for they're a giant company. So, of course, there's more restrictions. I would have liked to do it much different than it was done. I think that we were just starting to get to a place where it was starting to go that way. I was having more matches. I was working with Michelle McCool every single weekend on the road. We were really starting to move forward where it was dumb girl goes smart, dumb girl goes strong, and people really could attach to that because I really was growing up inside the WWE. I started so young, and I was starting to do these other things and work on Celebrity Apprentice and have these opportunities. So, for me, it was supposed to go even farther, but it just didn't quite get there. And, you know, the WWE is difficult. There's only a certain amount of time on TV. There's so many different personalities. There's so many different things going on. So we don't always get what we want. I'm incredibly appreciative for the things that I did have. But, yeah, I think we could have gone much, much farther down that line.
Did you get any, I mean, I'm curious about the character you played in WWE. It was kind of, you know, fun-loving, ditzy kind of character. And I've talked with Dawn Marie in the past, and she played, you know, a similar character in ECW that they wouldn't let her bring to WWE, and the idea was that we don't want to present women that way. Did you get any pushback from them on playing that type of character?
No, it was actually within the WWE that came up with the character. I had sang a song, I'm a Little Teapot, in a promo, and I switched up the words, and I was just really being playful with it. And from there, Paul Heyman took it to Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon said, we want you to say The Edge. And that was the first time my ditziness in interviewing came out. And after that, we just kept pushing forward with it, and Vince kept adding in more and more pieces to it. So, no, there was never any pushback. But, yes, people did believe I was incredibly stupid, which saved me on so many occasions. Because if they think you're dumb, then nobody's going to mess with you, because that's like picking on someone that's not very intelligent. So why would you do that? There's no fun in that. So, you know, I was saved in so many occasions. Because of that character.
Well, give me an example. Are you talking with people actually within the company or just dealing with fans?
Both. Dealing with people within the company or dealing with people, you know, outside the company. And still to this day, I get an interviewer that wants to talk to me like I'm 5 years old. It was a character I played. It was a lot of fun to play it. But, yes, I still to this day will get interviewers that talk to me like I'm a baby, so it's rather funny.
Now, I mean, nothing surprises me when it comes to fans or even interviewers, in some cases, I guess, depending on the interviewer, but people in the company just, I mean, they bought into your character. I mean, I guess that's a feather in your cap because you played the part effectively.
yeah, there was definitely some of that, and people would ask me to go out, and I would just giggle and be like, what do you mean? I don't want to go. And I would get off that way so many times and not have to go out partying with everybody when I didn't want to. Just giggle and smile and act like you're really stupid. So it works on so many levels.
Were you ever outed? Like someone eventually figured out, like, you know, they overhear you talking. It's like, hey, you're not the ditchy kick person I thought you were.
Oh, well, I mean, my friends, of course, knew within the company. The people that I loved and trusted, definitely they saw me for me rather than what they seen on TV. But, you know, it's very funny.
Now, you had done a reality show, just looking at your bio, and you'd actually done a reality show before Diva Search. Was it really Outback Jack?
Yeah, it was Outback Jack. I spent about a month out in the Australian Outback. And, yeah, it was crazy. It was hot and gross and buggy, and we lived in tents.
And I assume it had nothing to do with the WWE character.
No, it didn't. I actually fell in love when I was on the show. But, yeah, it was very funny. It's very funny looking back, too.
Now, the reason I bring that up is because, you know, you'd already done one reality show before you did Diva Search. And so when you went to do the Diva Search, was that more of a just another casting call for you? Or did you was it kind of a special deal where you actually had legit interest in getting into the business?
I actually found the Diva Search by watching Monday Night Raw. So I was a big fan of Monday Night Raw, and I would watch it every single Monday. And so while I'm watching the show one week, all of a sudden it says, enter online, the new Diva Search, all this stuff. So I entered online. And from there, I placed into the top, I think, 200 in Chicago, and then the top 200 got brought down to the top five they took from Chicago to go to New York to meet up with the top 26 from across the country. And so that's where I started in the Diva Search. But it was interesting because at the time, Coach was one of the judges. And Coach asked me, you know, do you know wrestling, blah, 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 all this stuff. And I was like, oh, Coach, didn't Rock call you a popcorn fart last week on Raw? And he's like, go to the next round. And so I had known all the wrestlers. Me and Michelle McCool, we actually both were big fans of wrestling. And Michelle was a teacher at the time, and she was a former gymnast. So we both entered online by ourselves without agents, and it was because we were fans.
Wow, very cool. So, I mean, and so once you finally, I don't remember the circumstances, once you finally made the WWE roster, I know with like Tough Enough winners, they have a tougher time fitting in the locker room just because people look down on them. It wasn't the traditional way. As a diva, if you will, did you get any of that, or was it just a smoother transition for you?
You know, I think that it was there. I just always ignored it. I came from a background of being independent on my own. I drove the country for these different bikini competitions. I flew, my first flight was to Hawaii for a bikini competition. I had $100 in my pocket, and I was there for a week. It was insane, but luckily they fed us, so I was okay. So I was used to the travel. I was used to a lot of females all in a locker room. I was a dancer when I grew up. I did ballet, tap, jazz. I was on a competition team for dance. So I was used to females. And so coming into the locker room, I just think that I definitely had a shield up that even if somebody was trying to get underneath my skin, it didn't really happen. The only time that I started to feel down on myself was when I broke my thumb because I couldn't work and I felt like I was going to lose my job because I couldn't work. I couldn't wrestle, and they really wanted me to wrestle at that time.
You know, I want to jump back to the character for a second because, you know, I asked if there was pushback, and obviously it was a WWE-created character. And I think with Dawn Marie, it was more of a Stephanie McMahon didn't like the portrayal of the character that she played in ECW. So even though it was, you know, it sounds like Vince had a part in this and liked it, did you ever sense any uncomfortableness from Stephanie?
No, not at all. And I used to talk to Stephanie all the time about, you know, different ideas and concepts that we could do with the character. And she was always very forthcoming with that. I still, to this day, I can send Stephanie an email today and be like, oh, hey, this is going on. I found this great photographer. If you want to use him, he's in this area. And she'll get back to me for that. So I always had a great relationship with her.
Very cool. Your release really surprised me. It's another one. I don't remember all the circumstances. I just have a terrible memory when it comes to these things. But I think you went from, like, winning the Diva of the Year Slammy Award to being cut just months later. What exactly happened?
Okay, so I wasn't Diva Search. I had just came back from Celebrity Apprentice, and I was starting to wrestle more. I was starting a storyline with Matt Hardy, and we were really excited about the storyline. And it was Tuesday. Tuesday, I get a phone call in the morning, and we were already talking about my contract because my contract was coming up. Celebrity Apprentice was about to debut. They really wanted to lock me down before Celebrity Apprentice started on TV. And I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to sign the contract that they gave me. I thought that it wasn't enough money. It had too many restrictions. I was just coming out with an EP, which had four songs that I had created, and I really wanted to have a few outlets that were my own. And they weren't really willing to budge on any of it. And I wasn't willing to sign the contract that was in front of me. I wanted changes. So I held out. I got a phone call that morning that was like, hey, we want you to sign, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, I'm not ready to sign. My lawyer hasn't came back to me with the changes that we want to make yet, and I'll get them to you as soon as I get them. Okay, fine. So Tuesday night happens. Get home from the road on Wednesday. I'm home. And it was the day after my birthday, the day before I was leaving for the road, and I get a phone call from John Laurinaitis, and he said, we're not going to move forward with your contract. Vince thinks that this is a good idea to give you some freedom at this time. I said, okay. And I really feel like they wanted me to cry or be upset or something, but it happens. You know, I can be very stubborn, and I wasn't going to budge on this one, and that's what happened. It was pretty cut and dry on that.
Yeah, I mean, so do you feel like had you broken down and cried and pleaded for your job that it was kind of a negotiating tactic on their part where it might have been, well, okay, we'll see what we can do, or, I mean, what did you think his approach was there?
I think they wanted me just to sign. I think they really wanted me to just sign that contract, but I was already... With outside things that I was doing, I was already making more money than they were offering me. So it was like I would have been taking a pay cut. And I'm not going to do that. I would rather stick to my principles and be able to feel comfortable in my own skin than to just break down because, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? I ended up landing on my feet, and now I'm working for New Japan and Ring of Honor, and I'm going to school, and everything turned out just fine. But, you know, it was definitely a very, it was a shock. And one day I was on the road, and then the next day I wasn't. It was crazy.
Yeah, wow. And you mentioned Japan. I mean, is that, had you done any tours of Japan with WWE, or was your New Japan work here recently your first trip over?
No, I have actually been to Japan, I think, four or five times with WWE. I went over there a couple of times just to promote pay-per-views. So I would go over there, I would have a pay-per-view party with a bunch of people and fans and with executives and all that. So they sent me over on a couple of those trips, and then I had also been over there to wrestle as well.
And so, I'm happy you said that. What's the different dynamic now compared to wrestling for WWE in Japan compared to working for New Japan? I mean, is this something you followed closely either on your own? You said you're a wrestling fan, or maybe through Mike.
Actually, this was a long time ago. I found out about New Japan and Noah. I found out about them because I was dating Punk. And Punk introduced me to Japanese wrestling. And through that, I've always kind of, you know, I've seen it here and there, but I never thought I would actually go and work for them. So when I got the opportunity to do it, of course I'm going to take it. It's a fantastic opportunity. It's the number one wrestling company in Japan. They treat me like a queen over there because I'm the only female right now. It's I have my own locker room, and it's insane. I'm treated like a princess, and I appreciate so much for having them bring me over, and you know, it's just fantastic. It's a very humbling experience to be able to go over there and work with those guys.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you mentioned the Celebrity Apprentice, and I correct me if I'm wrong, you were on the same season as Bill Goldberg.
I was, yes.
I know he is, and I thought it was you, but I remember him saying in an interview, he's done, you know, various podcasts and things, that he wasn't, one of the conditions going in was he didn't want any wrestlers on the show, that kind of a thing. I mean, mm-hmm. Did you sense any bitterness directed at you, or was he cool enough to just kind of put that aside?
No, he's a big teddy bear. He really is a big teddy bear, and still to this day, whenever we see each other, it's just a big old hug, and he tells me about his family and about his house and everything. So, no, I never felt anything like that.
And you know, I'm sure, I know I've listened to some of the interviews you've done, and I get that you're tired of talking about it. So let me just frame it this way: how close did you come to going back to WWE with the Total Divas thing, and then there were all the rumors of the Bellas having issue, you and the Bellas having some issues, and it sounds like that has been resolved. But was it just you know, a misunderstanding? And again, how close did you actually come to returning?
A signature. We had already worked through all the details. I was a signature away, and I was 2 months of putting everything on hold, thinking I was going to go back. We were talking about where we were going to move. We postponed the wedding, all in consideration of getting me back on the road and being in a locale that I could, you know, go training and get all completely back involved with wrestling. So we were talking about moving to Orlando and everything. So I was a signature away. I don't know what happened. And at this point, I'll never know. People like to tell stories. And who knows? This could have been just another story to get me riled up or get them riled up or whatever it was. And I, at this point, I don't care. I hold no animosity. And I've gotten to do tours with my husband in Japan. Like,
right.
No one has done that. And we have a few things coming up that I can't talk about that are so incredibly exciting. That couples in wrestling, they don't seem to get to do the things that we do. And it's so amazing, and it's amazing to have a great working relationship with my husband, and it's such a great feeling to be able to put a match together and to be able to think things through of what we're going to do and how we're going to continue building our brand as a couple. So as awesome as it would have been to go back, do Total Divas, have a few more years in the spotlight, that would have been fantastic. I also count my blessings in the sense that me and Mike are doing things as a couple that have never been done by a wrestling couple.
Well, now, do you think one of the reasons that most wrestling couples don't get the opportunities that you guys are is because most wrestling couples don't stay together?
I don't know. I think there's a lot of really good power couples out there right now. I mean, you got Triple H and Stephanie, you've got Brie and Daniel, and you've got Nikki and Cena, and you know, you have all these great couples, but it's different when you're on the independent scene or when you're in Ring of Honor or in New Japan, because it's kind of like we're fighting together to make our mark together. Because once you've made it to this big stage or the grand stage, you already have the funds and the money and all that kind of stuff. When you're fighting together to make a payment on a apartment together, and you're fighting the damn pipes to the ceiling that want to burst, and then you go on the road on the weekend and you're just trying to make it to the next show, and you're fighting together to make a statement, it's completely different, and it's exciting, you know.
Well, I know it, one of the interviews you did, I believe it was, I'm paraphrasing here, but the subject of if Mike were to go to WWE Developmental came up, and I think the comment from you was basically, I'll be happy to drop him off at the door. Have you kind of softened your stance on that? I mean, it was at a bad time with you and WWE. I mean, would you be open to doing business with them again?
I'm getting so close to having my degree done. I'm in school at Johnson & Wales on a scholarship from WWE, and I'm almost done with that degree. And the light at the end of the tunnel is right there. And so now I'm at a place of, okay, I'll get my degree done, and who knows, maybe I will go. Maybe, you know, like I've put things in place that no matter what comes up at this point, I have options. And there's so many good friends that are down in NXT right now, and Steen's down there, and I love Charlotte, and I think that, you know, Mercedes is a fantastic worker, and, you know, we love Generico, even though we're not supposed to call him Generico. Sean Spears is down there, and I worked with him at OVW, and so there's so many friends that are down there that, you know, I wouldn't say never.
What are you going to school for?
Sports, entertainment, and event management.
Wow.
It's a mouthful, I know. It's ridiculous, but yeah, sports, entertainment.
Okay, break that down for me. Put that one in layman's terms.
Okay, so large events, whether they be for sporting events, such as the Patriots just went to the Super Bowl. There was somebody that was there that was managing that was putting it all together.
I see.
They had 1,000 pieces to put that together and 1,000 different talent that were helping the manager, but there was somebody that was overseeing that. And so these large events or weddings, I recently did my wedding. I love doing that as well. Charity events like the Met Gala, these all get put together by somebody, and that's the job that I want to have.
Well, very cool. Yeah, I wish you luck with that. I mean, that sounds like
Thank you.
That, you know, even if you wanted to get in on the business side of WWE, would come in very handy.
Yeah, you never know.
Shifting back to Ring of Honor, there at one point there was a lot of talk that you were working on a women's reality show project that was focused. The way it was explained to me was more about the in-ring aspect than what we see on Total Divas. What happened to that project?
It's like with any project. You have to have the support of the company, and you have to have the support of the financials, and it just wasn't there. I hope that it will be there at some point, because there's a lot of fantastic girls out there that deserve to be spotlit. We did a few episodes. We have them in the can. And I really hope that we're able to do more. But unfortunately, I'm not the ultimate power and control on all of that.
Right, right. Well, and I want to have a little fun here to close this out. I know you have school tonight, but
I do.
You've done a lot of signings over the years. What's the oddest thing a fan has ever given you? And what is the oddest thing that a fan has ever asked you to do at one of these signings?
I've stepped on a guy's chest before. That was the oddest thing. Ooh, gifts. I don't know. I get amazing gifts. I get drawings that are cartoon drawings that I can actually, they frame them and bring them to me, and I hang them on my wall. So it's not odd, but it's really awesome. There was a Japanese guy that just gave me this beautiful cartoon of myself that is hanging in my guest bedroom. So I get handed really cool stuff sometimes.
Let's go back to you were paid money to stand on his chest.
Well, okay. So there was like 5 of us there. It was me, Tori Wilson, Victoria, Candice Michelle. Was that it? Or was Molly there too? I don't know. So there was a whole big group of us there. And everybody was doing it. So I got stuck into the peer pressure.
Wow.
Stood on the guy's chest. He had pictures. He has his photo album of us all standing on him. I don't know. He likes it. So that's what we did. It was so funny. Oh, my gosh. We were laughing so hard.
And did he pay extra for this, or was this just, what the hell, we'll do it for the regular price?
No, I think some people he paid extra. I don't know what I did because I had a person with me that took the money. But yeah, it was hilarious. So much fun.
So if a fan were to bump into you on March 1st in Las Vegas, Nevada at the Orleans Hotel for a little bit extra, you might stand on their chest.
Probably not. No, I need like the peer pressure. It needs to all, you know, everybody together. Now, if Jimmy Jacobs and Truth Martini and maybe Jay Lethal and the entire kingdom did it, yes, I would probably be on board.
if somebody does ask you, if nothing else, you can always fall back to the ditzy Maria character, right?
Of course, and I still do.
Well, hey, again, best of luck. March 1st is the 13th anniversary show for Ring of Honor, available on pay-per-view. I'm looking forward to covering it, and best of luck getting back in the ring.
No, thank you so much.